now. We go to the link where I'm sure he's dry. He's not in that cold weather, and that will be Tim McManus from the ESPN.com and the Fanatic, of course, a contributor on the Comcast Business Hotline. T-Mac, what's going on, man? I hope you're staying dry as you make this phone call.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting soft, really. That's what it comes down to. You know, I'm in these cozy confines of the press box, but looking out onto the turf, there's obviously there's been a heavy rain that's been coming down all day. It's a little bit lighter now as we inch closer to kickoff, but it's going to be a factor. I mean, you saw Carson Wentz, as an example, warming up with a glove on his throwing hand. That's something that we don't normally see out of him, and so one other factor that I saw as I was looking up some stats today is that Eli Manning has played in the weather, in this type of weather, 15 times in his career, and he has 12 fumbles. You know, so one way or another, the ball can squiggle loose from you, and I think turnovers are going to be a factor in this game with conditions being a part of it.
Sure, and a big game it is for the Birds as they host the Giants tonight at the link. And Tim, just to start off, as the inactives are out, we know about Jordan Howard still suffering from the stinger, but Nelson Agholor, Kamu Grugier-Hill, and Derek Barnett also on the inactives list tonight. What can you tell us?
Well, there's a couple of significant names there, as you mentioned, with Jordan Howard. Now he's been out for a month straight, and you see that the running game hasn't been trusted as much by Doug Peterson, hasn't been quite as effective, even though Miles Sanders has some decent numbers, but they just haven't gone to it as much, and they've lost all three of those games that Jordan Howard has missed. That's a pretty big deal. Derek Barnett's the starting defensive end. You need to get quick pressure on Eli Manning, and he is not going to be in this game. So that's a pretty big deal. And then I would also say that Nelson Agholor's absence is significant, at least in this. I mean, we know that he's had a rough season. But they go into this game with only three wide receivers, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, and Alshon Jeffrey. It leaves very little margin for error, clearly, when it comes to injury. Can't afford that. Suggests to me they're going to be in 12 personnel, pretty heavy. And they're very light there going in with three wide receivers as opposed to seven corners. So very interesting.
And with those three receivers and the two tight ends, does that mean we'll also maybe see Josh Perkins?
Well, I think that's definitely a possibility. And certainly he would elevate into even like a quasi-receiver role should one of these receivers get injured.
Hey, Tim, last week I thought you're playing against a 2-9 team going into that game last week. It was a mindset game. And this week, in my mind, you're playing a 2-10 team. There's no difference here. What's the mindset of this football team? I know a couple of the guys were upset about the padded practice early on in the week, last week actually. But what's the mindset of this football team as we head into this game this week?
I mean, they're saying all the right things, D. West, and you know, Doug Peterson was trying a couple different things this week to get the players into that right mindset. The one thing he did was kind of at least partially call out the leaders in a team meeting setting, and the way that Brandon Graham said it was Peterson said, "When are my leaders going to step up?" As we know, Peterson is a player's coach, so he doesn't say things in a way that it's going to make you look bad or that's going to be received the wrong way, but still some pretty strong messaging at the Tuesday meeting. And from my understanding is that the leaders kind of took that and ran with it and were very vocal out in practice and were trying to put it upon their shoulders to get this thing righted. The other thing that Peterson did was throw on some pads to kind of waken the guys up and have them recognize, at least this was the player's view, that, you know, a loss isn't acceptable to the Dolphins like that, and that, you know, it's not going to be met with nothing. And so, you know, they've been pushing the right buttons, so they think. But, you know, this will be a test of that. You know, last week against the Dolphins was also, as Peterson put it, considered a must win, and they lost to one of the worst teams in football. And so here they are home Monday night, another opportunity by the grace of the Dallas Cowboys ineptitude. And I'm curious to see what they do with it.
And Tim McManus joining us again live from Lincoln Financial Field with the latest on the Birds ahead of Giants-Eagles tonight, Monday Night Football. And Tim, as you bring up the padded practice, and then you hear the reports that some of the veterans were a little upset that they weren't approached about it before making that decision. how did that go down this week?
Well, I mean, I feel like this is probably the way that it is. Like, if you have a padded practice in December, you have a lot of tired bodies. Maybe not everybody is going to be like, "Oh, great, like pads," you know. but I don't know that means that there's like rebellion either. And I think that the majority of the voices that we heard in the locker room were understanding of what Peterson was doing. and some were very responsive to it. You know, Brandon Brooks said, you know, wherever that guy leads us, we're going to follow. You heard Brandon Graham kind of echoing that, and then Lane Johnson was like, I love padded practice. Like, you're asking the wrong guy. Like, that is for me. So while there could be some grumblings, I think that that's just maybe like, you know, some bodies are tired, but I think most people recognize the significance of the moment and that the coach is trying to get them to respond in some way.
Hey, Tim, I had a question about the Giants. Last week we saw the Dolphins and we, you know, kind of scoffed at their record and their team and thought the Eagles would go in and blow them out. And they had a few weapons, Gesicki and Devontae Parker. Who are those players on the Giants as it stands? They're 2-10, but their NFL team, and we've seen firsthand that it's any given Sunday. Who on their team can possibly cause us problems today?
And Jason, in fact, your question was rattling in my brain as that Dolphins game unfolded. I'm like, they're not going to really pose a threat. And then you see Devontae Parker just going up and lighting them up. lesson learned to pay attention to this is an NFL team that's on the opposite side. So point well taken. And I think that Darius Slayton is one name that we should look out for here. Rookie out of Auburn, fifth round pick, runs a 4.39 40, and has that explosive element that if he does get loose could provide some issues for the Eagles secondary, who clearly are coming off a really tough game. And then, of course, we also know about Saquon Barkley. Now, he hasn't quite looked like himself with the ankle sprain this season, but the indications are that he is starting to round into form. You're talking about a wet surface where tackling might and, you know, hard cuts are going to be part of this whole deal. And so those are kind of the two players that have a chance, you know, to wreak some havoc if the Eagles aren't on their numbers.
Hey, Tim, I want to bounce back to our offense just a bit. And, you know, it was my thought from the padded practice and talking to a couple of the guys that they would get Miles Sanders involved early and often in his football game, especially with the weather and all things considered. Is that the same feel that you have there as far as the offense getting Miles Sanders going in the run game?
You know, I think so, B. West. And maybe it's part like a lesson learned from this coaching staff, because they did sort of deviate away, and the numbers back this up, that they just weren't as committed to the ground game with Jordan Howard out. And you understand that to a certain extent because you're comfortable with the way he reads things. You know what you're going to get by and large. Miles Sanders is still feeling his way as a runner. And so you can understand a little bit that they would deviate from that. However, I think that they've learned that, number one, you know, Sanders is coming along pretty well. That he's averaging, you know, like 5.1 yards from scrimmage. And that he is starting to hit holes quicker and read you know, the run game better, and is, you know, arguably one of the, you know, most explosive players that they have. So yes, I think that especially given the elements, I do believe that they are going to try to establish Sanders in this game.
And Tim, as we know now that Eli Manning out there for the New York Giants, and something that we've all talked about this week, how have the Eagles defenders and, of course, the coaching staff prepared for him, knowing that Daniel Jones all week was not going to, at least look like Daniel Jones was not going to be the quarterback, and then certainly Eli Manning being named the starting quarterback for tonight, with everything with the legacy and all being spoken about, what are the guys talking about in the locker room?
Yeah, it's funny, the sentiment was nearly unanimous, talking to a bunch of players in there, and that is that they are expecting Eli Manning to be on point in this game. Some of the thinking is that, you know, the next four games for him, or however many games he gets, you know, are very important for him. Arguably, some said for his legacy, but also just for kind of where the rest of his career takes him. A competitive guy that they know very well, and know that this is an opportunity that he's been chomping at the bit for. And so the way that Malcolm Jenkins put it is that we expect his best. And given his credentials, his best is pretty damn good. So they're expecting Eli Manning to be on point tonight.
Tim, this is a long-term question. This is a wrap it up for us here. But long-term question for us. You know, for some reason, I've heard a lot about it this week, really in the last couple of days. With Dallas losing and us hopefully being able to secure a playoff berth, is there a chance that we may see DeSean Jackson in the second round of the playoffs this year?
You know, it's possible. I mean, that's when he's eligible for, and also the timeline syncs up with that. I don't think that we're at a point where we can say definitively that he will be ready for that. You know, he's been giving the regular updates on social media, and we see he's starting to move a little bit more, but still slowly. You know, but his camp felt like that was a possibility, but not a slam dunk. So I think that, you know, Jackson has to do his part in the rehab. The Eagles obviously have to do their part in getting to that spot. And I think the next several weeks will answer both sides of those questions, whether the receiver can get there in time and whether the Eagles will even present him with that opportunity.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.